on the streets that sounded like that would be saying, fix me. Here on the Bonneville Salt Flats, it's saying, give me fuel. People have descended on this place to drive everything from rocket ships on wheels to rental cars. We're in the pits where three long lines of canopies make a temporary village where drivers, spectators, and crews hang out to talk cars, occasionally firing up these babies to warm the oil and fine-tune them. This is an event called the World of Speed, one of three race trials that takes place at the Bonneville Speedway between August and October each year. People come from all over to see the flats, break world speed records, and top their personal best, like Bob Powers from Tucson, Arizona.
I like to race, and this is an experience. It's incredible. It's unique. I mean, Bonneville is unique. It's the magic of the fastest place in the world.
Bob and others are bound by a love for the scent of high-octane fuel, by the blur of mileposts whizzing by, and by a reverence for this place. People here treat each other like family, and nowhere is the embrace more complete than with Mary West. Anyone who comes here to race registers with Mary. She was first drawn to the flats in 1951, and Bonneville has become her second home.
It's even been compared to being a holy place because of the feeling that people have when they come here.
What is it about this landscape that makes it a holy place?
I have a story about Art Arfons.
Art Arfons has raced at the flats for years.
I was sitting next to my camper and he crashed the last time he was here and ran an event. And when he came back, we sat in a chair, much as we're doing here today, and we were looking at those mountains to the west. And I said, oh, Art, you really scared me. Were you okay? I said, how do you feel? Were you really afraid? And he said, Mary, don't you know that the Lord won't let the salt flats kill me?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have...
Before the racing begins on this day, the drivers gather outside the official's tent and one steps forward to lead us in prayer. Then we hear a brief sermon on the rules of the track. They tell us that the course is wet and unstable and that the delicate crust must be groomed and closely supervised, or there will be no race this week. I look around for my wife, Teresa, who left the pits a while ago, journal in hand, to explore.
The mind tries to grasp a hold of this landscape, make sense of it, liken it to something familiar. It seems arctic, a vast plain of snow, endlessly flat and endlessly white, but the blue mountains that float in the distance are bare. Perhaps another planet exists somewhere that looks like this, glistening under an alien sun, or maybe I'm in heaven above the gauzy clouds. However I describe it, I feel adrift. Earlier today, when we first parked near the course, I opened my door and reached down to touch the ground. It looked smooth, but it was rough and crusty. I put my finger in my mouth to taste it and then caught myself. I've never in my life parked my car in order to taste the ground. I was embarrassed until I saw another spectator arrive and do the same thing. Now I wonder if he shared my secret, if he too felt nervous at first, driving across the flats. I've come for speed, but I find myself loath to accelerate, afraid to spin out. My intellect knows I'm driving on salt, a surface with so much traction that people go faster here than anywhere else on Earth, but my gut keeps screaming about snow.
So, Ab gets underway from a standing start, and with amazing acceleration gets up to speed.
The Salt Flats is the dried-out bed of Lake Bonneville, a prehistoric inland sea. Natives and pioneers alike avoided the place until this century. That is, until 1925, when a race car driver named Ab Jenkins bet he could make it from Salt Lake City across the flats to the border town of Wendover faster than a steam locomotive, which did the run on a nearby track. Ab won like a gasoline-fueled John Henry, and from that time forward he became the champion of the flats, promoting it as the perfect place for testing driving endurance and speed. In the 20s and 30s, no one set more world records on the scorching salt than Ab himself.
Watch that thundering car across the salt. It's a desert mirage. The car seems to be actually flying high above the desert. What a weird world this is. Traveling now like a bullet.
On many of his endurance runs, Ab Jenkins saw mirages. Shadows seemed to rise up in front of him like concrete walls, A beacon on a distant hill appeared to move every time he looked at it. Other drivers have imagined runaway freight trains or a phantom car coming right at them. Many racers simply lose their bearings, veering off the track onto a course of their own imagining. Teresa had some thoughts on that.
I finally figured out why you get so disoriented so easily around here.
Why?
It's because the only things you can orient to are so far away. I mean, like, that mountain is, what, 10 miles away? And there's nothing closer to orient to. And we just aren't used to looking in the distance that way. And if you look closer at all to orient yourself, you're lost.
But despite the shimmering salt, drivers continued to find their way, to test their limits. Al Teague drove 409 miles per hour here in 1991. Sam Wheeler flew 301 miles per hour on a motorcycle in 1997. And Dutch cyclist Fred Rompelberg recently pedaled a bicycle 167 miles per hour. But beyond all the records set here, this place celebrates something that has defined America, garage ingenuity.
It's a 53 Studebaker coupe with a 305 Chevrolet in it.
What's that? 86 Firebird Trans Am.
1927 Model T, the modified roadster.
Soon to be the world's fastest barge stool. I think it's going to run about 30 miles an hour.
It has a Chinook helicopter engine in it. It will produce about 3,800 horsepower.
Wow. How fast do you want it to go?
500 miles an hour or so.
We drive to the starting line here at Bonneville, where dozens of cars wait their turn to blast off. After an unexpected rainstorm earlier today, the officials have finally cleared a short 2.5 mile straightaway.
Car 48.
Looking down the row of waiting cars, we catch the gleam of a purple arrow hovering over the salt on tiny wheels. It's 23 feet long, a hunched shoulder width wide, and it stands all of 32 inches off the ground. It's called a Streamliner, and this is the class of automobile that sets the fastest records. As we get closer, we recognize the driver, now outfitted in a test pilot's protective suit. This must be a mistake. What is a grandfatherly 72-year-old doing in a racing suit?
Hello, kiddo.
How you doing, Alan?
Good, so far.
We'd first met Alan Strasberg at dawn this morning to enjoy the sunrise together and to watch his team warm up the engine of this rolling rocket, number 444.
Early in the morning, they usually run the streamliners, and you can hear it just bounce off of the mountain. It's a sound that, if you like engines, there's no place else like it.
And you love engines, right?
Oh, and there's nothing like a well-tuned engine and something with a lot of horsepower.
The Strasberg family motto might be, the family that races together stays together. For Alan's wife, his four sons, four daughters, six grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren have all turned out to cheer him on. Alan's one of those guys who gives and gives, building the engines that win races, and through the years he has helped each of his sons break speed records so they can be part of an elite club out here at Bonneville. Now his family and friends want to see him join this prestigious brotherhood of speed demons. That's why Alan is trying to set a new record of 232 miles per hour today.
Jeff, push that helmet down a little. That's better.
It's painful to watch this giant of a man being crammed into this long metal cigar. He's now lying almost flat with his head propped up so he can see out of this slit of windshield. I'd be going nuts with claustrophobia, but Alan is still smiling.
How are you doing, Mr. Strasberg?
Nice and cramped, but we're okay.
The moment has arrived. The pit crew pushes him up to the starting line, and the last thing I see is his shaky, veined hand as it disappears into the cockpit. The race official gives him last-minute instructions.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How about you?
Oh, I'm still alive.
Okay. It's still quite wet at about the 2.5, so you need to get your parachute out.
Alan probably won't have enough track to break the record today, but that hardly dampens anyone's spirits. They're just excited to see how fast he can go.
Go, go, go!
There are no words for the pure power and adrenaline of man and machine as we listen in through a portable microphone in Alan's helmet while the 444 speeds out of sight over the curvature of the earth.
time on 444 was 219.351.
That's Dine Allen.
He looked like he handled the car beautiful.
We hop in our car and circle around to the end of the course to see how Allen has fared.
We had that other quarter mile. You could get that record easy.
Easy.
Can I congratulate you?
You certainly may.
Good drive.
Not bad for an old guy. And I mean old.
We've been initiated into an otherworldly landscape here on the Bonneville Salt Flats, and we've met people who have taken us into their world of camaraderie and dreams. As Teresa and I turn to leave, we realize this place has grown on us in 3 days. The drastic openness that seemed threatening at first now shouts out an emphatic message of possibility.
Makes me really want to go fast.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's go fast. I don't know if this car will take it.
Okay, we're up to 20 miles an hour.
Keep your ground the road. We're going 40. You don't have to do it all at once, honey. I'm just getting scared. 85, 95, see if you can make 100. You're 98, you're 100.
On the ultimate open road, the Bonneville Salt Flats, I'm Hal Cannon with Teresa Jordan for the Savvy Traveler.